The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they laughed at him. And from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 35 and 36, and verses 42 and 51. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. Behold, I tell you a mystery. At this time of year, when the earth begins to feel the cold hand of winter, the hours of darkness lengthen, and nature itself, in some sense, dies, we Christians begin to think about the end of life, the end of the world. But we do that in the dazzling light of Jesus' resurrection, of which the raising of the daughter of a ruler of the synagogue, St. Mark and St. Luke tell us that his name was Jairus, the raising of his daughter is a sign pointing forward to Jesus' resurrection and to ours. But the mourners there in the house of Jairus just laughed Jesus to scorn. Now, it's no secret that we live in a day when many dismiss the resurrection hope as a matter of little concern, which one may or may not believe, or else that hope is trivialized as nothing more than a poetic way of saying that, well, despite everything, life still somehow has meaning. Now, this faith weariness, this loss of Christian nerve, this death of genuine hope is, of course, nothing new. You might even say that it's as old as the human story. The much suffering Job asks in his distress, if a man die, will he live again? And the New Testament scriptures give us a lot of evidence of how this hope was dismissed by both Gentile and Jew. The party of the Sadducees in Judaism knew nothing of the resurrection hope. And when St. Paul preached the resurrection hope to the sophisticated audience gathered on Mars Hill in Athens, some mocked him, and others said, "We'll listen to you again some other time," more or less dismissing what he had to say out of hand. Yes, the rejection of resurrection hope is nothing new. In fact, members of the church St. Paul had founded in the city of Corinth kept asking anxiously, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body? And Paul answers their anxious question by using imagery, the imagery of seed sown in the earth. And using that imagery, he says, what is sown in the earth is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. A spiritual body. But what is that? A spiritual body. And it's just here that one so often finds confusion worse confounded. Because that word spiritual is one of the most easily misunderstood words there is in Holy Scripture. The word spiritual can mean so many different things. And so today, just as in St. Paul's day, when people hear the word spiritual, they immediately jump to the conclusion, if spiritual, then certainly not bodily. If bodily, then certainly not spiritual. But that contradicts everything we as Christians believe. For us Christians, spirit and body are by no means mutually exclusive, since God, who is spirit, in fact took on himself from Mary a body he has never put aside, although that body born of Mary, once crucified, is now risen and wondrously changed in a way we can't even begin to understand this side of our own resurrection. And so when St. Paul speaks of the resurrection body as a spiritual body, he doesn't mean not bodily at all. He means a body totally responsive to the Holy Spirit, who, as we learned in our catechism, will on the last day raise me and all the dead and give to all believers in Christ eternal life. The life we know now, this side of the resurrection, despite all its tragedies, sorrows, pains, and absurdities, its own manifest injustices and intractable problems, is nevertheless God's precious gift, full of joy and delight and wonderful surprise, truly a gift of love. And where there is so much love, there must be more, always more. And how do we know that? Because on the first day of the week, the Lord of love rose from the dead, and because he did, not only Easter Day, But on every Lord's Day, we celebrate his glorious resurrection, receiving him in that wonderful sacrament which from ancient times has been called the medicine of immortality, the sure pledge of our own resurrection, as we in fact hear in the dismissal from the Lord's table. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. And so here at the altar, we know and truly receive our Savior's hope-sustaining love. O sacred banquet in which Christ is received, the memory of his passion is renewed, the mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us. More than 50 years ago, preaching to no doubt skeptical undergraduates at the University of Oxford, Austin Farrer had this to say. They think too little of God's love who call this hope in question. Belief in this infinite and invaluable gift, this partaking of God's eternity, is the acid test of genuine faith. Leave this out of account, and you can equivocate forever on God's very existence. Your talk of God can always be talk about the backside of nature dressed in emotional rhetoric. But a God who reverses nature, who undoes death, so that those in whom the likeness of his glory has faintly and fitfully shone may be drawn everlastingly into the heart of light and know him as he is. This is God indeed, God Almighty, a God to be trusted, loved, and adored. St. John put it so simply, beloved, we are God's children now, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.